Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for joining us. It's good to be with you. It's a pleasure and an honor for me to be able to do this every Monday through Friday and visit with you a little bit about your small business and introduce you to some really cool and some really smart people like our guest. I mean, nobody fits that profile better than our guest this half hour, our good friend Tim Berry, the president of Palo Alto Software, the world's business planning expert. I have that on authority, folks, from a lot of other people. He is the world's go-to guy when it comes to business planning, but more importantly, he's our good friend. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Great to be with you.
It's good to have you back, as always. Tim, something I want to talk about today will address an issue that I've run into for years as a business consultant. People would come to me wanting to start a business, and they wouldn't have a clue as far as how much money they were going to need, or even how to find out what kind of money they needed. And I know you've got some thoughts on that, and I think this could be a very an excellent exercise for anybody who's thinking about starting a business, making sure that you aren't surprised, you aren't blindsided. And I mean, Tim, I don't know how many people I've seen start a business and maybe they had a pretty good idea, maybe they had a decent business model, but they woefully underestimated how much capital they were going to need in the early days, and they subsequently failed. So talk to us about that.
What I'd like to do, what I think can help with this, is breaking this question down into three good lists so that it's easier for people to understand that, okay, it's not some huge task. It's three good lists. You're going to list the assets you need. You're going to list expenses. And I want to talk about these and where you find them and how you guess and so on. But if you start by thinking, okay, we're going to do three good lists, and then there's kind of a reality check. So you list your assets, your expenses that you're going to incur before you start, and your financing. And out of those three lists, I think people can get a pretty good idea of what my startup costs might be.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, do we start with assets?
So let's start with assets because it's a simple one and it's important. Start first with just 30 seconds to explain. Assets are things that are yours that your business owns, like inventory is an asset, cash is an asset. But more important, depending on the type of business, you might be needing things like signage, say, or shelves, or chairs and mm-hmm. tables.
Or vehicles.
Or in some cases, a building or a manufacturing plant. And mm-hmm. there is some finite list of what assets you might need. How do you get that list? How do you find that out? In the real world, Jim, it's one of the first reality checks of this starting a business. You're kind of supposed to know. If you're starting a restaurant, for example, it's assumed that you must have worked in a restaurant, you have some idea in a restaurant. You can kind of guess this stuff.
I'll never forget an email I got one time, Tim. That I swear, I promise you, I'll never forget these words. The person emailed me and said, "Dear Jim, I want to start a restaurant. Where do I buy my food?"
Yeah.
I promise you, that was it. Thank you, Bob. That was it.
So you should know, and a lot of times people make it too difficult. But one of the things that's important here in knowing is that sometimes the existence of a list makes things easier, at least psychologically. If I have a list of things I'm trying to fill out, somehow I can go one by one. And then let's talk, before we go on to expenses or whatever, let's talk a little bit about, so how do you know? That's annoying. Jim Barry on the radio and Jim Blassingame say, oh, well, you're supposed to know. Well, I don't know, and I want to start this thing anyhow, and my college professor wants me to list it or whatever. So how else do you find out? Well, there are ways. One of my favorite ways is call somebody who does know, mm-hmm. who doesn't compete with you, who isn't in the same time. I'm in Eugene, Oregon. I'll call somebody in Boulder, Colorado.
Right,
and
go to
say,
another city, uh-huh.
Yeah, somewhere else, and say, gee, I'm really, here's me, and here's why. Generally, what you want in this is people like to talk about their business.
Right. Absolutely. But you, as you say, you got to find somebody out of your area, because if you compete with them, they're going to clam up. We're going to talk some more about the list of assets, then we're going to move on to expenses, and then we're going to finally talk about financing as we wrap up this, as we talk about this this very important issue about how to capitalize your small business when you start it. 20 Tales, stay with us. We'll be right back with Tim Barry. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. Be sure to subscribe to my newsletter when you get it. When you get to the website, it's free. It comes every week by email. Don't forget, there's lots of other things you can do there at jbsba.com. Tim Berry is our guest. He's president of Palo Alto Software. Tim, let's get back into our discussion about how to find out how much money we need, how much capital we need to start our new business. We're working on our asset list, aren't we?
Yeah, we're trying to build a list. It's almost like when you're packing for a trip. Sometimes one thing on the list will remind you of another, and sometimes you need to have the list available for a couple days so that when things come up, you can quickly add to it. But basically, writing a list is writing a list.
You know, Tim, also, you talked about how to come up with this list. Back to the restaurant analogy, go to a restaurant, look around. You know,
oh,
take notes.
Oh, that's a great idea, yeah.
You know, just take a pad and look around. Go to a, if you know somebody who's, if you're going to start a factory, you know, find somebody who's in the factory business. You know, they don't have to be in building what you're going to make. I mean, factories are factories to a large degree.
For some types of business, and just for some, if you look, you could do the Google search or go to Amazon.com or what have you. For some types of businesses, there will be books
right.
available that you can buy. There's How to Start a Restaurant that's available from several publishers. And the $20, $30, $40, $50 you spend on that is pretty good money if you're talking about starting a restaurant.
Money well spent. And, you know, also, Tim, there are trade groups. Almost every industry has a trade group where they have an education division of the trade group that can help people who are wanting to start something in that industry.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're always looking for new members. So, but also, you can't talk about assets, Tim, without talking about technology, can you?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's funny because with the way the tax treatment is on computer stuff, I end up having that usually in my expenses. I believe, now I'm not a tax accountant or attorney, but I believe your first $100,000 now of
That's
computer
right.
office equipment
direct expense
gets to be expense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a funny classification because you'd think of those as assets.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that you own that you're not going to, you know, but the computers, as it turns out, gets to be an expense.
So you got to add up all those numbers, find out what these costs. Also, you can, don't forget to consider used equipment. A lot of times, used equipment will work just as well. So buy used as much as you can. I would like to point out that if you can't find the used equipment that you want, I'd like to encourage you to go to ebaybusiness.com. They've got used equipment there that might help you. Tim, let's move on down and talk about the expenses.
On expenses, people tend to not understand what we're talking about as expenses. And to make that clear, we're talking about the expenses that you'll incur before the business gets started. Those are startup costs. Mm-hmm. Expenses later on are just part of your regular running costs.
Operating
so we're
costs.
Differentiating. You might have, for example, the most classic expenses would be legal expenses.
We call them soft costs. too.
So. Yeah, you're going to go to a lawyer, and you're going to establish this as a fictitional business name or a corporation or partnership or whatever. But there's some expenses that people have almost always before they start. And then there's your letterhead, your logo. If you're in retail, you probably have lots of expenses that aren't assets in design of signage, in cleanup, in accommodation of the location with the, where you put the shelves and painting, and I guess that's leasehold improvement type stuff, and getting a place
you're gonna have
ready.
You're going to have deposits for utilities. You're going to have deposit for rental, for your property if you rent it. You're going to have payroll that you're going to have to spend to get the thing going before you ever sell anything.
Yes, because you've got people involved in cleanup and establishment of the business. I mean, normally.
Right.
So, and clearly on these things, what we're going to discover that's important is that each business that starts has its own unique set of startup costs. Some of them are much more than others.
Mm-hmm.
Example, when I got going as consulting in business planning way back in the late 70s, what you needed to consult in business planning, aside from knowledge, was a computer and basically customers. I would start out of a home office.
Mm-hmm.
So the startup costs were relatively low. But then when you talk about starting up a product business with packaging and productization and manufacturing and prototypes, startup costs are relatively high, and it's different for each type of business.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a second list, right? We've got a list of assets and a list of expenses that happen before we start the business.
Right.
Those are two of the three. And let's just put some numbers. Let's just say on our restaurant we needed $75,000 in assets. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about we might need some inventory to start up. You know,
right.
If you have
you
a store,
have
you have still a store. So, but just call it $75,000 in assets and $40,000 to name a number in expenses before we get going.
Before we ever sell one thing.
So that's 75 and 40 is $115,000.
Mm-hmm.
I should have chosen even numbers, but we'll stick with $115,000. That leads us to our third list, which is financing. Where
right.
does the money come from?
Tim, hold on to that. Hold on to that because we're going to talk about that when we come back after these messages. And remember, folks, as we get into the financing, we're also going to have to talk about the cash flow, because that expense list and the operating expenses, that's just a vertical budget. But somebody's got to fund the ongoing business over the months while you're operating this thing, and that's you've got to include that in the financing. And we're going to get Tim to talk to us about that right after these messages. It's 10 Till. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Tim Berry. And, folks, there's a website that I want Tim to give us where you can go and find out more about what we're talking about. Tim, give it to us, please.
Oh, actually, Jim, and with some examples of this, too, we're talking about www.bplans.com, B-P-L-A-N-S, bplans.com. And what you will find there is one of my articles on this whole thing on starting a business and some tables and examples of this in bplans.com. And also, there's 60 sample business plans from real companies that are on that site where you can just read them there. We can't send them to you, but you can read the whole plan there, start to finish,
mm-hmm.
including usually in section 2.2 in our outline, startup costs. So you can go look at, there's three or four restaurants included in those 60 plans, and a computer reseller and consulting and a lot of different businesses. So you won't find a list that will solve your problem because you have a different business, but it will help you see what these costs were for some other costs.
Right. So don't forget bplans.com, folks, and that's also a place where you can link over to, a place where you can actually check out how to buy a business planning software, the Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. Tim, let's get into the financing part of this. We've got our asset list. We've got our expense list, our upfront expense list. How are we going to finance all this stuff?
Well, the how we finance also includes the question of how much. And that's why I said three lists plus an error check, and you just mentioned cash, too, because we came up with $115,000 in expenses and assets, and we haven't yet figured how much cash we need to have to cover the deficits we're going to run in the beginning months of this new business.
While we're spending money but not collecting so much.
Quite common that many successful businesses start out at deficit for some undetermined amount of time because they have to market, because they're new, because people get used to them for lots of obvious reasons. Well, that's part of your amount. That's the hardest part to figure out. You can count your assets. You can list your expenses. You can add them up. Now you have $115,000. But are you going to be covering your costs in the first month of the restaurant? Probably not. People, there's all kinds of rules of thumb. People say you need a year's worth of expenses. They say you need 6 months. I say you do a business plan and find out through reasonable estimates how long you're going to be in deficit. But that's another amount. So let's say that there's $35,000 that you need to have because you figured out that that's your safe money.
Mm-hmm.
So you get $115,000 and $35,000. That's $150,000. And that has to be raised. That money is either invested or it's borrowed.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And there's only those two choices.
And there's one other way to cover growth, and that is through profits. But you're a startup. You don't have any profits yet.
Yeah. So you've got to look. And if you can't figure out where you're going to borrow or where you're going to get the investment, then you really don't want to be starting that particular business, or at least not now, because you don't have it. How do you calculate cash in the real calculation element? We know we need $35,000, so we said we had $115,000 of expenses. Well, the only way you have $35,000 cash is if you raise $150,000 when you have $115,000 in expenses.
Right.
So you got to raise this money. The cash doesn't just sit there. Yes.
Another thing you can do on your asset side is some of these assets, depending on your credit history, depending on your ability to get credit, some of those assets can be leased and not purchased outright. So you might have, of that $75,000 of equipment, maybe $50,000 of it, you don't have to pay for. You can lease them.
Yeah.
And that diminishes the amount of money you have to raise, but it increases the need for working capital.
And then your running costs will go higher. But oftentimes that's the only way. What happens with the financing side is we're dealing with not what's ideal but what's possible. The money you can borrow is directly related to assets you have to back that borrowing up if you go to a bank, or credibility you have or wealth that somebody else has if you're going to borrow it from somebody else.
And, Tim, we're coming up on the end of the hour. I want to say a couple of things. Folks, the best way to do this is to create a business plan with the financials. And I want to remind you that you're talking to the guy, Tim Berry, who's created the best one in the world. So I encourage you to check out his business plans. And, Tim, the other thing I'd like to say is whenever you find out how much money you're going to need, add to it. Add 25%. Add 50%. I don't know. It always takes more than you thought, right, Tim?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Tim, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Always a pleasure, Jim. Thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.